Are we allowed to enjoy this?
Keane O'Mahony is literally an opposition scrum half's nightmare.
People say I refereed lots of matches when I actually played.
The Red 78 with Alan Quillen and Niamh Briggs. Subscribe to the Rugby Channel on the OTB Sports app and turn on your notifications now.
OTB AM
with Gillette, proud supporters of Movember. Gentlemen, let's move.
Let's talk about Manchester City last night. There are some other things that we're going to get to. We'll be talking about Manchester United. We'll get in the very latest from the Manchester Evening News. Their chief football writer has some very interesting details about some tactical stuff that was going on behind the scenes that Solskjaer might have vetoed, and also the latest on the runners and riders now for the actual interim as opposed to the interim to the interim. But Man City against the Mbappe, Messi, Neymar trio last night. I mean, it was very interesting to watch how the match evolved and the screaming of the centre-backs at Paris Saint-Germain in particular when they were under the caution that first half. They were like, "Come back on the field!" kind of stuff that you would tend to see at under-10s and under-12s when there is like the lad who can solo and who therefore thinks, "I'm not doing any defending. I'm the full forward and they're going to get me the ball because I can solo the ball more than once without it careering off my shin." And the like big burly centre back who'd be shouting at him, "Come back and defend!" And Messi, Neymar, and Mbappe is like, "Nah, no, no." I mean, the game doesn't matter that much, right? It matters a bit, but not that much.
No, it doesn't matter enough, yeah.
Like, that's the thing. There wasn't enough jeopardy on the line for the three lads to be totally up for it. And yet they were still very good. Like, there was a. Neymar should have scored after an amazing bit of trickery and one of those 1-2s that isn't really 1-2 but ended up being one with Di Maria, and then, you know, he's laughing with Gabriel Jesus afterwards. The interview is, "Oh, you won the game against your great mate Neymar," and he's like, "Yeah, he's my mate. I mean, we're international teammates. He's not just, you know, he's a real human being, Neymar, and so therefore we have had conversations and we've played together, so yes, we are mates." Like, it's not that big a deal, but it seems to be a big deal. All the stars were out, is how it was. It didn't feel like it was. It felt like theatre last night as opposed to a match.
Yeah, all the stars are here would have been the Norm Macdonald introduction to the game last night. You're right, the jeopardy does kill it. It does kind of take away from what would have been like an unbelievable knockout tie, for example, or even like a two-legged affair. It did feel at a point last night that it was going to go the exact same way as the first game, where you're like, Manchester City have a bit of control here and it's going to be reflected in the scoreline, and then boom, back at an effort for Paris Saint-Germain, and it's like, right, is this the... Not that it matters overly, given the result in the Leipzig game. The result was never going to matter, but you started to think, is this actually the one failing of this Pep team, where they have a lot of the ball and they have a lot of opportunities and they still can't put a team away? So to come from 1-0 down to actually to put them away eventually, I think is a bit of a statement from Manchester City last night. I'd say in a lot of people's eyes they would be favourite now to actually get over the line and get this thing done this year. You can't see this Paris Saint-Germain team winning the Champions League, and you can see them winning you could actually see them winning like a one-off tie against Man City potentially, or even Bayern Munich, but to actually do it round after round after round, suspect that they are going to get caught at some point. Now, to bet against Messi, Neymar and Mbappe is obviously quite a silly thing to do, but it just feels that we've seen enough in even just in the context of last night and throughout the season so far,
I'm throwing out last night in some respect. And apart from the fact that like they did absolutely kill them in the first half and couldn't score, what's that about? Was it, okay, you've got world class defenders nipping the ball off the line? Is that what it is about? Or is that actually that they don't have the super ruthless goal scorers that you need to be champions of Europe?
As in Manchester City?
Yeah, I'm not sure. Until they do it, they haven't done it. And so, you know, everybody's a doubting Thomas. And you put your hands in the wound, and the wound is that they don't have a number nine who they trust. Jesus was pretty good. He was, you know, he was causing trouble before the goal.
But Pep clearly still doesn't trust Gabriel Jesus.
No.
Everything he said about him this season has sounded good, but the actual process of giving him minutes at the most meaningful times hasn't happened. So he's talked the talk when it comes to Jesus quite a lot, but he hasn't actually trusted him as much as what his words would suggest. Like, it does come back, like it is that same issue. Like, what was the problem last year against Chelsea? and it's maybe Raheem Sterling not taking that early opportunity in the Champions League final, and those are the sort of moments that you need to be taking in a final. But it was a very Manchester City failing. It is clutching at a straw completely with this Man City team, but because they are striving for perfection and striving to win every single thing, it's a pretty glaring weakness that is probably going to come up again, I guess, at times. But that being said, I think I really do think people will be looking at these as Champions League favourites, and if they can iron that out, of course they're probably going to go all the way and win this thing. That is the quality that they have. So it's an issue. Like the front three last night, Mara, Silva, Sterling. If that was the starting front three in a Champions League final, you wouldn't be 100% sure that they would actually get the ball in the back of the net. But there's no doubting their unbelievable quality to create opportunities to do so.
And the strength and depth they have of those type of players now means that they are capable of finding people in form no matter what happens. If two of those are out of form, then your hope would be that Grealish is in form and or somebody else, Foden, is in form. It's like, okay, all right, they are going to definitely be at that level, which can be explosive. You just want to make sure that somebody has taken the responsibility to be the one who's going to like absolutely hammer it into the net, as opposed to I'm going to pass it up against the upright, or I'm going to clip it off this guy's head. And then there's just a little bit of doubt because there isn't a cold-blooded killer whose job it is to score 60 goals this calendar year.
Yeah, I would contend, though, it's like the one area where they possibly just don't have enough depth. Like, obviously, Cole Palmer starts in the centre of the attack at the weekend against Everton, I'm sure. I mean, like, it's a great opportunity to get those players in when you're playing with 10 Premier League winners, essentially, and a top-quality team on that front. But still, is that... if they get an injury crisis later on in the season, that's the level that they go to for somebody who's going to be getting meaningful minutes. Like the Grealish thing's been interesting. Like as somebody who obviously was attached to him so much at Aston Villa, like he must be looking at him at the moment thinking, I mean,
can we get him back for 50 million?
Yeah,
that's like, what I was thinking.
Or like he will obviously come good at some point or another, but at the moment it's not looking like an amazing run so far from it at Manchester City.
No, it's not. And
we'll wait to see when he comes back, obviously.
The people are pointing out that similarly, attacking players have had difficulty bedding into the system that Guardiola wants for you. And I don't know, I'm sure every opportunity exists for him to work out the current kink, but maybe he doesn't, you know? Maybe he is 100 million quid bust and then he can't come back to Villa for... What do you offer at that point?
You would actually be looking into getting him back?
25 million. Just test their resolve. Look, it's a bust, you know? Money doesn't really matter that much to you.
Like what's going to happen here is that Grealish will eventually break out at Manchester City and have an amazing half season or whatever, where he's in contention for a golden boot, or like it might be next season or whatever.
Or it's after Christmas. It's like, yeah, I bet it in. I finally understand exactly what it is. I was living in a hotel and now I've got my own gaff. Whatever, yeah. Whatever the issues are. Maybe he's living in his own one. It looked like there was a power struggle last night, to shifty lad, about the big three and who could do the most while doing the least. Hate that, as I was a pretty bad defender. And Jack Reaper says, morning lads, some fantastic game last night in the Oil Derby. In fairness, it was brilliant. The quality of football you were watching was brilliant. It just didn't feel like there was enough on the line for it to matter that much. I haven't said that when the head was keeping the ball out. You were like, ooh. Yeah. It was definitely the quality is sensational.
It was kind of like a nice sort of a scene setter of an episode at the start of a great run of TV shows or something. And it's just like, this is clearly high quality, but it's not high stakes, and we're okay with that. Like we can't be getting wound up too much about that. We all know that the Champions League just goes to a whole other level after Christmas, and that's when the real business begins. And chances are we could see these two teams squaring off again later on in the competition, and it'll be so much better on that occasion. Like it felt really dramatic the last time they met last season in the semi-final, wasn't it? So that's when the real business begins. But like I can't even remember at the moment. But isn't the plan for the Champions League to expand the group stages, or is it to expand the knockouts? I can't remember. But either way, the group stages.
It's a league.
Fine.
It's a league group stage, as opposed to. Yeah, it's like
we do not need that.
16 teams that end up meeting in there. Is it? Was that it?
It's like something convoluted like that. But I think the group stages, while they've thrown up some, I guess, great storylines here and there down through the years, the business doesn't begin till after Christmas, and it does feel strange that when you're talking about PSG against Man City, when it's this late on, when it's match day five, it's hard to read too much into it. So I guess that's a bit of a failing of the current structure. But the price the price we'll get for that, or the thing we'll see in return for that, is just a brilliant knockout stages once again, no doubt.
Yeah, in fairness, the City bench last night wasn't particularly strong compared to some other benches that we've seen them have. I don't think it was even fully filled out, but the PSG bench last night was absolutely ridiculous. Donnarumma, Sergio Ramos, Verratti, Icardi, Di Maria, Danilo. It's not bad. Gini Wijnaldum. So
yeah, it's pretty
good. I wouldn't be writing Paris Saint-Germain off on the basis of what I saw last night.
No, like I mean before the game, Guardiola, I think the headline even regarding Guardiola praises Pochettino as an elite manager despite lack of league titles. Like, in hindsight, it's kind of like, I mean, is this the sort of guy that Pep Guardiola would be pretty content to see at the other side of Manchester over the course of the next little while? Of course, he's an excellent manager, but is he actually on the level where he's going to be the cold-blooded killer that's going to wrestle a title back to Old Trafford?
Well, I think what we heard yesterday on the show was, yeah, this scenario is not his making. He doesn't want the team the way it is. And if he goes to Manchester United and can build a team if he can build that team in the style of what he wants, then I think that would be something that would concern Guardiola, because he seems like a hard enough character, Pochettino. I think Pochettino would be a good manager. There would certainly be a vast improvement on what we've seen before, even with the existing players, although I think that he would probably show several of those players the door and kind of cycle through players quicker than we've seen. So let's wait and see. If you've got a view on that, we'd love to hear from you. 087-9180-180. That's the WhatsApp number. You can always just leave a comment in the YouTube stream. We're reading those and keeping an eye on them across the morning. So here's what's coming up between now and 10 o'clock for you. We are going to speak with Shane Castles on Ireland's need for a statement stadium. What are the world's great statement stadiums? We'll ask him that in a couple of minutes' time. We're going to talk football with Samuel Lockhurst of the Manchester Evening News. James Scales is going to join us at 8:30 to talk about the great piece that Arthur James O'Dea wrote on the website. It's done amazing business, so most of you will have seen it at this point. But if you haven't, get onto the hurling section on otbsports.com and check it out there. We talk football with Phil Egan, the Republic of Ireland in action this evening against Slovakia. You've got to make sure that you wear pants that are not too big for you, because otherwise they slip down. That was Vera Powell talking about making sure you're wearing the right size underwear. And then Johnny Logan is, we're going to play out with Johnny Logan today, talking about his love for bows with Joe last night. You didn't see this?
I actually haven't seen this yet.
Let me get you the Vera Powell quotes, because I don't want to butcher them any more than I've already butchered them. But sometimes it's almost like she has a Google Translate going in her head. You know the way the Dutch are like very matter of fact? Just to like use the racial stereotyping that we always give out about the nationalistic stereotype. The Dutch seem pretty kind of straightforward in how they're going to talk to you about things. And so she was pretty straightforward about this. Oh, why is it not here? Oh yeah, Powell warns Ireland not to get caught with pants down. This is in Dan's piece. Can I use a Dutch expression? If you put on pants that are too big a size, they will go down to your ankles. If we act as if we are bigger than we are, we'll have a problem with coping with that. Don't let your jocks fall down around your ankles, Owen.
Yeah, don't get too big for your boots is the Irish translation of that one. That's an interesting sector.
They're very different. They're very different sentiments, though. You get too big for your boots split.
Yeah.
You wear underwear that's too big for you, you're left, you know, dangling in the wind.
You're left humiliated and exposed.
Exposed.
You might be humiliated,
I'm sure.
Either way, it's like it's an involuntary thing, I guess. Whereas maybe getting too big for your boots is a sort of, look, you saw this coming. Your feet got bigger and bigger and bigger, and he did nothing to stop it. Whereas this is like, oh no, I have these around my ankles.
The only thing that could actually make you get too big for your boots, literally, is like feeding yourself like one of those foie gras geese. You know, like you're getting force fed to the point where
it just has nowhere to go. It just goes to the ankles.
Bursts, yeah.
Yeah. Ireland's national team is clearly doing one of the two things at the moment. Like, it's beating Finland, the footballing equivalent of eating foie gras. and gorging on it.
See, we don't get to eat the foie gras. We're the geese that get force fed.
Oh, sorry. Okay, I see.
We're the ones. Yeah, I don't know if you've seen that, but they like open the gullet and shove stuff down it. That's how you get the. That's how their liver expands to the point to make it so tasty.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
It's grotesque.
As it is. Yeah.
It's really grotesque. I hope you're all enjoying your breakfast this morning at 7:46. Apologies for that. That mental image, but yeah. So I don't know. It's an interesting. The Dutch, as I said, have interesting phraseology. If you put on pants that are too big a size, they will go down to your ankles.
Yeah, like I guess it's true. Are we getting too big? Are we getting
no? Yeah, no, we'll see tonight if they don't put in a good performance. But that's the manager's job, right? That's like the manager sets the tone, puts the culture in. Complacency can certainly seep in from the players, but the manager needs to spot that and make sure that it doesn't happen. So, Thiago scored last night for Liverpool. Liverpool fans, again, no jeopardy in that match. They were able to give players some extra game time. Alisson nearly made a mistake that caused a goal, but didn't. They got away with it. They win 2-0. Salah scores again. Do they need to rest Salah at the moment to like give him an opportunity, or is he on a I want to win the golden boot, give me all the goals?
It definitely seems that way, doesn't it, given some of the players he left out last night. Obviously Van Dijk on the bench doesn't play, Trent Alexander-Arnold on the bench doesn't play, Henderson, Robertson both come off the bench, so and Fabinho obviously in that conversation as well. So the frontliners were given a rest last night, with the exception of Sadio Mane and Mo Salah, and then obviously Alisson and Goals. And I'm not saying it's stat padding or anything like that, but there must be a situation here where Salah's like, I just want to keep scoring. And when you're on a hot streak, you're on a hot streak. And to be honest with you, if you're looking at it cynically from Jurgen Klopp's point of view, you're like, well, you know what? Yourself and Sadio, you're going to be gone at some point in the next little while. You're going to be gone. So I'm going to get as much as I can possibly get out of you over the course of the next little while. And you can go, I'm sure that's not what the conversation is. And I'm sure it's to do with Salah being like, I want to score goals and keep scoring goals. And Mane has been in okay form as well. And he wants to keep scoring goals. So that's obviously why it's been done. But he was really... really irked before the game about being questioned about the dead rubber last year when Jota got injured at the end of the Champions League group stages. So I think he would have been I'm not saying that he would have got bitten by any injuries or anything like that happening last night, but he's never got any issue with playing a pretty strong team, even though the team is already through to the next round.
And the controversy over his conviction around the sex tape didn't stop Karim Benzema from scoring last night.
No, Sheriff. I mean, it was good while it lasted, our interest in this geopolitical story in the far reaches of Europe, but it looks like that story will not carry into the knockout stages. Sheriff beaten 3-0 by Real Madrid last night. Karim Benzema, as you say, getting on the score sheet. I didn't see the full game, just kind of caught the highlights of this last night. I mean, it seemed that Sheriff had a couple of opportunities to actually cause Real Madrid a few issues. They had 12 shots actually in the game last night, but it looks like that's going to be all she wrote when it came to that group. So it's Real Madrid on 12 points, Inter on 10, and Sheriff on 6. So Sheriff will be in the Europa League if you want to keep that thing going over the course of Thursday nights for the next whatever 4 or 5 months.
A lot of love on my Twitter feed from football journalists for the job that Simone Inzaghi is doing as the manager of Inter at the moment, and they qualified in that group as well in second place, so we must do a piece on that to find out exactly what it is that has turned him into an excellent manager, because you know loads of those players, he's around the same age as some of those players who are trying to make it at the moment as managers, and seems to be doing quite a good job of it. Phil is with us. Phil, good morning to you.
Morning, lads. How are you doing?
I'm well. I'm fully present. I've been here for every second of the show, unlike Owen, who although he's
been here
in body, his spirit is elsewhere. Where are you on?
Well, like, I mean, at about 8:35 this morning, I saw everybody tweeting about Garth Brooks, and I was like, you know what? That would be a good Christmas present. The problem was, it was 35 minutes past 8, 35 minutes after tickets got on sale. So I've just been a good citizen, and I've hopped in queue on Ticketmaster. So currently, for Saturday tickets, there are 105,776 people between me and getting my hands on those sweet, sweet tickets. But Aiken Promotions, over the course of the last 20 minutes, have announced a third date for Garth Brooks. Breaking news, everybody, this morning. These tickets aren't for me, just to reiterate. And I clicked into the second date.
No,
sorry, I clicked into the third date, and there are 105,381 people before me. How is that possible? How is there a new date, and there are still 105,000 between me and getting over the finish line? How does this work? I don't know. Something's fishy here. I think, like, the same people who are going to be in the stadium the Saturday night are going to be there the Sunday night. People who've already got tickets for the other night are stopping me getting a very handy Christmas present and will sort out a good portion of my family.
Okay. You asked a very interesting question, Phil, that we're now going to speculate on before we talk about the women's game tonight.
Yeah, I wondered, because Owen obviously says the tickets for his parents, but for all we know, Owen
for a
there,
friend,
he's got the cowboy hat on. But who out of off the ball would be the most likely Garth Brooks fan? And I kind of was leaning towards Shane Hannon, because I thought, you know, Monaghan, yeah, good tradition of country music.
The seat of country and Western power in Ireland.
A few Czech shirts. I thought I could see Shane Hannon at
line
Crow
dancing
Park.
And the Budweiser belt buckle.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, and look in the part. With his Wranglers on, no bother.
And that's a very good end. I'm going straight in at number one, the Beast from Ballyhonus, Nate Dogg Murphy. That's what I'm saying.
Why Nathan? He's like, he popped up at a Happy Mondays gig. He's a big Radiohead fan.
Yeah, but he used to DJ in Galway.
Okay, well, that's
from the West.
Do you know who it actually really is, lads? It is Tommy Rooney. Tommy Rooney is the biggest Garth Brooks stan in our midst. Yeah. He is there with his cowboy hat on at the morning, going like, "I got tickets high." It's like your number one. I don't want to use the phrase, but like a bit of a muck savage. I mean, like that is I'm from Kerry. I can say it. I mean, like he's got that flowing through his veins. He's moved down to Clare. He's moved down to the West. You talk about country music. I mean, he's moved to the West. I would be shocked if he is not in the top 100,000 people queuing for tickets right now. He's screwing my parents over from getting a good Christmas present because he's buying double tickets, Tommy Rooney. But I would say
he's buying tickets for the whole Meath Hill first team. That was their reward this year for not getting relegated.
Yeah, say that again.
They still have the T-shirts from the first time.
Oh well, I mean, you can just roll them out once again.
Collector's items. I'm sure they've actually gone up in value.
I would say, like, anybody who's there, like, I mean, has anybody actually been to Nashville? I mean, like, I've been there. I've been to the home of country. Let me in, Ticketmaster, please, for the love of God.
Tommy.
Jojo, let me in. Did he just call me a muck savage?
He did.
I couldn't even name two bloody Garth Brooks songs.
He did call you a muck savage.
Could he not name two Garth Brooks songs, no?
I know the one, the Friends in, what is it again?
Oh, look at this.
Come on.
Friends in Low Places.
There you go.
Hey.
Hi.
Hi.
I'll be honest, lads, I can imagine Garth Brooks being great crack and it'd be a cultural event for this country to go to it. And do you know, it'll be, as you said, Owen, a good Christmas present. But no, it wouldn't be for me. Now, like,
it'll be a little bit like a Wales match, I suspect. I just think without the six-year-olds, it's going to be a little bit like a Wales match.
Do you know, I think people will bring family to it. I think this will be one of those seminal moments in Irish history. They will not want their kids to miss out on it. Like.
No.
Not that I will be going to it or purchasing tickets. I'm not in the queue, so I don't think I can be accused of being a Garth Brooks fan. I do think it'll be a bit of crack.
You're going, aren't you?
No, well, no.
You're not in the
not
queue.
At the minute. Had I considered jumping into the queue... No, because I'm terrible at buying tickets for events. I'm actually brutal at it. I never get it done. Jared, would you not go to it? No.
No.
I feel like this is something that you'd love.
No. Not my thing. No.
It's only around the corner.
It is only around the corner, yeah.
Egan's a sleeper. Egan's a sleeper. He definitely
a bit of a sleeper. Yeah.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Phil Egan.
Yeah, you married into the West.
Do you know what? When I am out West, there is very much a country vibe going on with some of the music in the kitchen, but. No, I'm not going to queue, but there is going to be more concerts. Oh, you'll be all right.
I hope so.
What are we at, three now?
I'm saving myself for Bruce Springsteen to come back to Croke Park next year, so I'm hoping that's going to happen. Lads, I'm going to let you get back to the football.
Thanks. Just to clear your good name, not a muck savage, Tommy Rooney this morning. 9:25, let's talk about the Republic of Ireland tonight against Slovakia. We need to make sure that our pants fit.
Yeah. That was the message. So if you put your pants on that are too big a size, they will go down to your ankles.
Did you mean pants trousers?
Yeah.
We misinterpreted that.
No, I knew she meant pants trousers.
Oh, I thought you meant jocks.
No.
Yeah.
Right.
So okay. Basically, don't get too carried away because obviously, you know, we're still reveling in the win over Finland, which was the big game. But Slovakia come to town and they're quite hard to break down. Sweden and Finland have both beaten them, but only by the odd goal. So we're not really in a position yet to just think we're going to turn up and win this game. But it will be interesting to see. It'll probably be a fairly similar lineup, but somebody like Katie McCabe or Denise O'Sullivan are real creative players, are going to get the ball in more advanced positions because we're going to be on the front foot. Slovakia are going to come and just try and defend and basically make sure they don't lose the game and see what they can get, if they can get anything on the counter-attack. So it could be a night to be patient, in that Sweden scored quite early against Slovakia and that was it. They got a 1-0 win. They couldn't get the second goal.
Slovakia aren't rubbish. We were kind of dismissing them here as a team who were just going to waltz in and hammer, and we're not really at that stage of our evolution
No, definitely not. And I'd feel the same even about the Georgia game on Tuesday, where it's a game you'd expect to win, but it's unlikely that it's a game that Ireland are going to go and win 4 or 5 nil. We're just not at that level just yet, but obviously we're on an upward curve, and it could be a very pivotal night in the group as well, because if we get the win, it's on after Sweden play Finland. That game kicks off at 5:30. Ours is at 7:00. Obviously, more than 6,000 tickets sold. It's going to be good atmosphere, and you know, there's something nice building, especially at Tallaght Stadium. And the good news is Katie McCabe has been past fit to play. But yeah, we've seen this in the past. We did the hard work of beating Ukraine in the last campaign, and then when we went out there, a game that all we had to do was draw to get a playoff, we came unstuck and lost 1-0 with the most bizarre on goal, and we missed a penalty. So there is always reason to be sceptical of a sting in the tail, but I still expect Ireland to get the win and then build on it and then hopefully beat Georgia, and the table will look a lot better come Tuesday night.
Yeah, the consistency is the most important thing to see from the team at the moment, and we have been horribly inconsistent up until the last 3 or 4 games where there's been clear signs of progress, but it's such a small sample size that we need to make sure we don't regress.
Yeah, I think what we've noticed in the last few games, obviously playing against quality opposition, the win against Australia was massive in the sense that it ended the run of defeat. So that conversation was parked. It wasn't a case of going into the Sweden game, the toughest game you can get in Europe, the top-ranked team in Europe, number 2 in the world, where people were still asking Vera Pauw about a losing streak. That was put to bed. So then it was just about, what can you do against Sweden? It was all about testing ourselves against the best. And apart from one little slip, we cope quite well. You can definitely see the shape of the team is pretty good. That's an easier side of things to work on, making yourself hard to beat. It's now evolving to become a team that when you have the ball in possession and you're on the front foot, that you're cohesive in attack. So that's the next phase of development, and hopefully we'll get a glimpse of it tonight, that Ireland are going to have plenty of possession, that we're incisive and we're clinical, and just start on the front foot and play with intensity. And somebody like Heather Payne is crucial to that intensity, because she just covers every blade of grass and on the pitch. I think back to that Australia game when she's still on the pitch and she's stretching her calves out because she's cramping up, and then a minute later she's sprinting for the ball. So that's what you want from your team, and said hopefully the big crowd that goes tonight is going to have something to cheer about.
Yeah, Katie McCabe has talked as well about the evolution of the fitness of the team, and it's something that Karen Duggan has talked about as well, is that like previously we might have been good for an hour, but now the team is actually good for 93, 94 minutes, and players are making those long busting runs, still attacking at the very end of the game. So we've made a quantum leap, but this is where it starts to get very high risk and high reward. We could qualify for the World Cup, a much more difficult tournament to qualify for than the Euros, which we didn't qualify for, and we're in a really good strong position to do it, but these are the games you've got to take care of business. To be honest, Phil, I wouldn't be terribly surprised if we win this 1-0 and it's a header from a corner. Like, it doesn't feel yet like we have fully reached our expression of what the creative side of the game is.
Yeah, no, I think set pieces have always been key, and I mentioned the Australia game. I was actually sitting right behind the corner flag where Katie McCabe whipped in the corner for Louise Quinn's winning header, and it was such a good ball. It was begging for someone to get their head on it, and Louise Quinn, we know how good she is in the air. So if that's how it, like, if people sometimes criticise teams for just being able to score from set pieces, but how do you get set pieces? You create attacks, and usually it's from a keeper being forced to save or a defender under pressure having to put the ball out. So I would never want us to get away from being an aerial threat from set pieces. But the likes of Katie McCabe, if she's in more advanced positions, you know, some people think that playing as a left wing back, it's not ideal because you want her further up the pitch. But if we are playing more on the front foot tonight, Katie McCabe's going to be in better positions. And if she gets a sniff of goal, if she's around the edge of the box, she's going to pull the trigger. So hopefully we can see something there. And yeah, eventually we will get more incisive in attack. But also as well, obviously there's the experience, but there's pressure. It's having to deal with pressure. And we didn't deal with the pressure in Ukraine, where it was a game that you go into it knowing that if you avoid defeat, you're guaranteed a playoff. And we didn't get the job done. And subsequently, Northern Ireland held their nerve to beat Ukraine in a playoff and qualified for the Euros. If we do get a playoff, these World Cup playoffs, by the way, they're the most convoluted thing that you could...
It's a three-way mini-league, is it?
There's mini-leagues. Well, no, there's... I feel like we're going down the Nations League route here. I'm very conscious of it. But basically, yeah, if you finish as one of the runners-up, if you're one of the best ones, you go through to round two of the playoffs, and then the other six go into round one of the playoffs. This is all within Europe. But even if you win your European final playoff, if you're three of those teams, only the top two ranked through their qualifying go in, then the third one goes into this inter-confederation playoff, which is a tournament in Australia and New Zealand.
Oh, right. So, like a repechage.
Yeah, I think it's safe to just say, oh, we could qualify for the playoffs. And look, if we do that, which would be great, we'll worry about how to get there after. But
the thing to do is we actually need to win all our games from here on out and maybe draw in Sweden. And that should make us one of the top qualified teams into the playoff.
Yes, absolutely. And I said at the time as well, with the defeat to Sweden, the fact that it was only 1-0, that would stand to us in terms of goal difference as well. So if we could beat Finland here as well, obviously that would be a huge result. I suppose we don't have that luxury where we can talk about beating teams like Finland with ease. Even if we drew with them, the fact that we beat them there last month means we'd still finish ahead of them, provided we do a double over Slovakia and Georgia. So look, it's exciting times. And even on the way into work this morning, you're seeing the billboards all around. And yeah, like crowd of over 6,000. Eventually where this is going is we get a women's international at the Aviva Stadium.
Yeah, and the full house and the amazing atmosphere in Tala is actually really important. We did see that in the Luxembourg game. The small, properly populated with a very dedicated crowd is a brilliant thing, and it could be a real fortress for us, and maybe they play glamour friendlies in the Aviva or something, I don't know, but certainly that's worth considering, as opposed to just immediately going to the Aviva when it's like a crowd of 15,000 or 12,000. It might look like it's not very many people there when actually it's a brilliant achievement. So there's definitely a balancing act to be read there. Give us your prediction, Phil.
I think I'm going to go 2-0 Ireland.
Right, we would definitely take that. Phil, good stuff. Thanks a million for that. Now, speaking of Katie McCabe, she's part of our latest roadshow. If you're an Arsenal fan, if you're an Ireland fan, then you don't want to miss our next Cadbury FC roadshow. Robert Pires, one of the Invincibles, Ireland captain and Gunners star Katie McCabe, and Gerry Flannery, who of course is now part of the Harlequins coaching ticket, but he was a strength and conditioning coach in the senior academy at Arsenal for a year and has brilliant stories about what it's actually like to be there and the sort of work that they do. He's worked with some pretty famous players along the way as well. It's all thanks to Cadbury FC and their club partnerships, granting you behind-the-scenes access at the Premier League's biggest clubs, coming soon to OTB Sports social channels. We have Ireland. Nathan is on duty, on commentary duty tonight, and I was just checking with him on WhatsApp. It is Emma Byrne. So I was like, is it Emma Byrne on tonight? Yeah. Libelous comments about Gareth Brooks. He misspells deliberately Gareth Brooks as it. Gareth, as like to throw us off.
So that's a smooth move.
And then I went, are you in the queue? Blue ticked. No answer.
No, of course he is.
No time.
He is one of the 90,511 people ahead of me.
Oh, you're getting closer, on.
Yeah. Shane Hannon, not coming back to me on that. Look, Shane, we love you either way. You're totally entitled to do it. You just be your best self, Shane. That's all that we're asking for.
OTB AM.
With Gillette, proud supporters of Movember. Gentlemen, let's move.